Zen centers were established in several places in North America, making it possible for American converts to receive training and assume positions of leadership. A Roshi by the name of Shunryu Suzuki established the San Francisco Zen Center and trained a number of important disciples, including Richard Baker Roshi, who have had a lot of influence on the spread of Zen. Yasutani Roshi, another Japanese Zen master, traveled widely in America and trained several disciples who went on to organize major Zen centers of their own. So Zen has moved in an organized way through American culture and now is found in organized Zen centers quite widely in North America. The movement that is known as Soka Gakkai has brought Nichiren's teaching of devotion to the Lotus Sutra and to a broad range of American audiences. As I mentioned last time, it's particularly influential in the African American community in this country. So when I talk about white Anglo-American Buddhists, that's really a misnomer, truth be told. We're talking about a lot more diverse community amongst American Buddhists than merely these white faces that sometimes populate the audience in Zen centers across the country. Tibetan Buddhism has been represented by all four major schools, the Nyingma tradition, the Gelugpa, the Sakya, and the Kagyu, and many, many sub-varieties. Among some of the important communities of Tibetan Buddhism in America are two that I happen to have experienced and benefited from. There could be many more that I could cite for you. One was Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche's Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado, founded in the mid-70s in the midst of a great explosion of countercultural energy. Eventually, it's become institutionalized and is now one of the most active and important Buddhist educational institutions in America. I just noticed in the New York Times a couple of days ago that their great stupa enshrining the relics of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche has been dedicated in Red Feather Lakes, Colorado. Put that, too, on the list of places you ought to visit to understand or to encounter Buddhist holy sites in the world. In the article about this, the dedication of this stupa, the author quotes Judith Simmer Brown, who is a good friend and chairwoman of the Naropa Institute's Religious Studies Department. And she says that it seems to her, in the 1970s, Buddhism was more of a sect. That's speaking about the Buddhism in the Naropa Institute back there in the 70s. But by creating monuments like the one that they've created in Colorado, Buddhism is moving to become more of a culture and a civilization. So her understanding is that Buddhism is now expanding in such a way that it is becoming in itself a major component in the larger culture and part of the complex fabric of American civilization. Another important Tibetan community in the East was Geshe Wangyal's Gelugpa Meditation Center in Washington, New Jersey. Geshe Wangyal was a Mongolian monk and is not terribly well known in his own right, but he trained many very important American disciples who have had a lot of impact on the academic study of Tibetan Buddhism. So you can trace many important lineages back to the teaching that he gave in that quiet monastery up in the mountains in New Jersey. I spent many wonderful afternoons studying at his feet, coming to know the Tibetan philosophical tradition. I was simply one small part of the large movement that he helped bring into existence in that place. But all of this, of course, has to do with specific sectarian movements associated with the Buddhist tradition in America. If you want to talk about American Buddhist, about the influence of Buddhist Buddhism in America, and also for that matter in the rest of the world as well, you need to talk about the way Buddhism has insinuated itself into other cultural movements, into the arts, into literature, into film, into music.